Good morning. We continue our look at it being a wonderful life when God's in it. And so let's pray as we're wrapping up this series together. Father, thank you for an opportunity to talk about you again. It's such a beautiful thing to be able to look into your word, to see the truth that you've given us through your inspired word, and asking you now that as we spend this time together, that during this holiday season, it would refocus our attention where it needs to be, and that's on your son, Jesus Christ. So thank you for him, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, a lot of times people want to talk about peace. They want to talk about unity. They want to talk about getting along. And let's face it, when there have been difficult days, we love this. We love the times where we can just be at peace and there isn't tension. I know there's some people that like to stir the pot. I know there's some people that seem to just get an adrenaline rush off of drama and difficult times. But most people, when it really comes down to it, want to relax. I mean, you hear the songs about giving peace a chance. Talk about the fact that people want love and they want unity and they just want to get along. And so, as I was thinking about that, I thought about this story that we've been working through of It's a Wonderful Life. And in the movie, it's at a point where George has no peace. And he actually goes to someone for help, and that's Mr. Potter. He's humbled himself. He's gone to Mr. Potter in a way that says, I need help. A mistake has been made. It actually hasn't even been made by George. It's been made by his uncle. But George takes that upon himself, and he goes to Mr. Potter hoping, praying that this man would help him out. And take a look at the response of Mr. Potter to George's plea.
I'm in trouble, Mr. Potter. I need help. Through some sort of an accident, my company shortened their accounts. The bank examiner got there today. I've got to raise $8,000 immediately.
Oh, that's what the reporters want to talk to you about.
The reporters?
Yes, they called me up from your building and loan. Oh, there's a man over there from the DA's office, too, who's looking for you.
Please help me, Mr. Potter. Help me, won't you, please? Can't you see what it means to my family? I'll pay any sort of a bonus on the loan, any interest. If you still want the building and loan, I'm...
George, could it possibly be there's a slight discrepancy in the books?
No, sir, there's nothing wrong with the books. I've just misplaced $8,000. I can't find it anywhere.
You misplaced $8,000?
Yes, sir.
Have you notified the police?
No, sir, I didn't want the publicity. Harry's homecoming tomorrow.
You're not going to believe that, will you? What have you been doing, George? Playing the market with the company's money?
No, sir. No, sir. I haven't.
Oh, is it a woman, then? You know, it's all over town that you've been giving money to Violet Bick.
What?
Not that it makes any difference to me, but why did you come to me? Why don't you go to Sam Wainwright and ask him for the money?
I can't get a hold of him. He's in Europe.
Well, what about all your other friends?
Well, they don't have that kind of money, Mr. Potter. You know that. You're the only one in town that can help me.
I've suddenly become quite important. Well, what kind of security would I have, George? You got any stocks?
No, sir.
Bond? Real estate? Collateral of any kind?
Well, I have some life insurance. $15,000 policy.
Yes. How much is your equity in it?
$500.
$500? And you asked me to lend you $8,000. Look at you. You used to be so cocky. You were going to go out and conquer the world. You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. What are you but a warped, frustrated young man? Miserable little clerk crawling in here on your hands and knees and begging for help. No securities, no stocks, no bonds, nothing but a miserable little $500 equity in a life insurance policy. You're worth more dead than alive. Why don't you go to the riffraff you love so much and ask them to let you have 8,000? You know why? Well, because they'd run you out of town on a rail. But I tell you what I'm going to do for you, George. Since the state examiner is still here, as a stockholder of the building and loan, I'm going to swear out a warrant for your arrest. Misappropriation of funds, manipulation, malfeasance.
All right, George. Go ahead. Go ahead. You can't hide in a little town like this.
When you're down, when you're hurting, you would hope somebody would be a friend. You would hope that somebody would come alongside you and be an encouragement, help you out, especially in the difficult days. It is a beautiful thing, and I've had it happen for me, where friends have come alongside me in difficult times, times of tears for me, times where I didn't see any hope, and somebody comes alongside and listens and helps as much as they possibly can, reminds me of the love of the Lord. And I just appreciate that. And we all want those kind of friends, not like Mr. Potter. And so as we once again look at the scripture, and we've been looking at these couplets here, we look at Isaiah chapter 9, and let's read these verses again because they're beautiful words from the Word of God. So take a look at this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we'll be focusing on the Prince of Peace. It said here, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. So think about that. Finally, a kingdom, a country, a nation, a place where there is peace and it doesn't end. There always seems to be the threat of war, the threat of peace leaving. And he says here, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. You hear that so often. People want justice. And when they say there's no justice, there's no peace. With justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So let's get into this together. Point number one in today's message, as we look at this Prince of Peace, Jesus gives us legal peace with God. Look at this, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, God is who He is, holy, righteous. We, if we're honest, know what we are and who we are. Now, if we start comparing ourselves to other people, we can go, I'm better. But God doesn't allow us to do that. He puts Jesus next to us. And when Jesus is next to us, the perfect Son of God, and I compare myself to Him, there's no comparison. And by nature, when we are born into this world, we are, the Bible calls us, children of wrath. Look at this in Ephesians 2, verse 3. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So Paul is talking to the believers in Ephesus, and he's saying to them, there was a time when we were like everybody else, but God has saved us. But at one point, We were children of wrath. We were heading toward destruction. And peace is something more than the absence of fighting, war, and anger. So it's more than just the absence of those things, fighting and war and anger. But it is definitely includes these things. John Calvin said this, "The Hebrew word for peace often signifies prosperity. For all blessings, none is better or more desirable than peace." Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Down deep, truly, that is what we want. I know of families where there is just discord constantly. I know when my family was going through a difficult time, it was so good to be in a place, in another home sometimes, and just even with what was going on, there was peace. Why? Because it was settled and they were getting along. And that's a beautiful thing to experience. And the great blessing of God culminates and reaches its height with peace. Peace includes prosperity, meaning biblical prosperity. Psalm 1, which is a beautiful song of the Psalms, talks about this. Psalm 1, verse 3, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." So that's the blessed man. That's the man that is lining up with the Lord. And that brings peace and that brings prosperity. That's when all the other stuff that's going on in culture, in around us, we can walk around knowing I have peace. And when I get my eyes off of that, boy, can I get distracted. And that kind of thing, that kind of peace is impossible for the ungodly. He goes on in the psalm and he says this, "The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." So that's what happens. The godly, the ones that line themselves up with the Lord, they're like trees planted next to streams of water. But the wicked are not like that. And so that song, that psalm, describes that. There's no peace there. And though the ungodly may enjoy a temporary type of peace, the book of Jeremiah communicates it and does it twice. Jeremiah 6, verse 14, listen to this. "They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace." So something is done lightly, something that is done in such a way that it's almost like a band-aid, but underneath it truly isn't healed. It says, "They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." And two chapters later, in Jeremiah 8, verse 11, listen to this. It says it again, and it's God's way. When he says things twice, he's reminding us. Remember in the word where Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." So, truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you. It's making, Jesus is saying that twice. The word here, Jesus is the word. Jeremiah is speaking the word of God. Look at this, Jeremiah 8, verse 11. "They have healed the wound of my people lightly," little band-aid over a cancerous situation, "saying, peace, peace, we're good, everything's good, when there is no peace." And you look around in our culture and you see people that are defying the word of God. And it's not just one party, political party. It can happen in both parties. It can happen in any situation. Peace, peace. If you follow my principles, if you go with my platform, there'll be peace. And yes, we line ourselves up as much as we can biblically, but ultimately, true peace comes through the Savior. And so these wicked ones, these people, false teachers are leaving, dealing with sin outside the message of salvation. The message of salvation. Here's the message of salvation. And this reminds us at Christmas time. Matthew 1, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Not he will be a good example to them. Or everything is fine. You can just stay the way you are. Mm-mm. Jesus loves us just the way we are, but too much to let us stay that way. Because he knows, ultimately, we need to line up with him. Be holy, for I am holy. God, I can't do that. That's right, you can't do that. But I can do that in and through you. Even and especially God's children should not be at peace when they're sinning. Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. David, just heartbroken for his sin. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up by the heat of summer. Selah. Selah means I stop and I think about that. Thomas Watson said this, if you are a so-called Christian who can run into sin freely without feeling pangs of conscience, it's probable you are not a true Christian at all. Mercy is not for them that sin and fear not, but for them that fear and sin not. So we see that if we want to have peace with God, we need to be honest about our sinful situation. I believe so much of what people are dealing with when it comes to situations of the heart and mind, a lot of it could be taken care of. And we do know, obviously, that there's going to be times where someone has to have medicine to help with issues that they're dealing with. Okay, obviously that's the case. But in all reality, the peace that God brings, sometimes it doesn't come because I'm living a double life. And I know I'm living a double life. And I feel guilty about that. And so instead of changing that, instead of repenting of that, I hold on to it. And if I'm truly what I need to be in Christ, and I'm sinning, there's a part that I'm like David, where I'm tossing and turning. There's something wrong. And so I need to have the mercy of God. And the mercy that we have in Christ is a great and it's an abundant mercy. And with it comes the start of peace. Look above the verses that we just read in Psalm 32. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So I'm finally being honest. I'm finally getting it all out there in the open. And I can be at peace. There's a beauty to that. There's a freedom to that. That's truly what I want. And the peace of God starts with Christ's washing away our sins with his blood. Revelation 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. It took that. It took Christ dying so that I could have freedom, so that I could have true peace. And Jesus took care of that penalty that was due sin. And he did it on the cross. Point number two, Jesus enables us to deal with the power of sin by his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. That Spirit that God gives us at the moment of salvation gives us the enablement to walk with God. And if truly the Holy Spirit is in us, we should expect he will do us good. He will make us holy. The Westminster Shorter Catechism has a question. What is sanctification? Here's the answer. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. Galatians 5, and this is a passage here that is convicting, but it's also it's encouraging. Look at this, Galatians 5, beginning at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, I want you to stop, before we keep reading that, I want you to stop and think about that. What happens is sin loves to fill up a vacuum. Junk drawer. Think about the junk drawer that's in your house. Think about how jammed it gets with stuff. It gets so jammed in that sometimes you can't even open it. Oh, you got to stick your hand in there and push stuff down and pull it out. Well, the day you decide, I'm going to clean out the junk drawer. That's you with your life. I'm going to clean this up. And so you take stuff out and you get it. And if it's completely emptied, can I tell you that at some point the junk drawer is going to be full again? Because that's just how it is. But if you say, I want this drawer to be used for a purpose, I want, and you could say, well, the junk is the purpose, but junk in our lives is a horrible thing. So what do I do with this situation? Well, it says here, if I walk by the Spirit, I won't gratify the desires of the flesh. And here's what's in the junk drawer. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. There's no peace to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now the works of the flesh, what's in the junk drawer, are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the junk drawer of our life is packed. Let's say it's got a little bit of that in it. Let's say it's got a lot of that in it. I don't know what your junk drawer looks like. And you're like, I don't want this to be the case anymore. God, take that out. Here's what he does. He takes that out. Listen to what he puts in. That's salvation. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. If my life is wanting and desiring and obedient, that drawer is full of that. I walk in the Spirit. God, I want to walk in the Spirit today. I don't want to walk in the flesh. God, help me. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I can't be walking in the flesh. I just can't do both. Note that peace is one segment of the fruit of the Spirit. And the peace that Christ gives is different from worldly peace. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So it is that peace of God, that peace which passes understanding, Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now think about that picture for a moment. You've got a peace that guards your heart and your mind. And that comes from God. That's what He gives. That's what He gives as we're focusing on His Word, as we meditate on it, as we have those things coming into our life that encourage us in our walk with Him. That guards, you know, that peace of God guards our hearts and minds. So what are you putting constantly in your ears, in your eyes, in your mind that affects your heart? John 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Last point, point three. Jesus brings about perfect peace. When He delivers us from the presence of sin in heaven, and that's so good to know. I like this as we look at that last verse in Isaiah 9, verse 7 there. It says, of the increase of His government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Boy, looking forward to that day. And Christ had this perfect peace even on earth because He was and is sinless. Mark 4, 37 through 39. You see this when the hard times were coming in. A great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling, but He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke Him and said to Him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You talk about they were scared before, in the midst of the storm. Afterwards, they were floored. They were a little scared too. Afterwards, they said, who is with us in this boat? But I want you to know, He's in the boat with us too. And He can calm the storms. He's done it in my life, and He's done it in the lives of those that could give testimony of that. So Jesus has peace. He had it then. He has it now. He'll have it forever. We are in the midst of time here, a fallen world, a sinful world, things that are trying to get us to not have peace. And we can have this peace too, as we trust in the Lord. I love Isaiah 26. Look at verses 3 and 4. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, or on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. He ultimately reconciles, makes peace that is complete, it's permanent, peace in heaven, and eternal pleasure. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is what God promises. Well, our story has George Bailey, who's found out what life would be like, what the world would be like if he had never lived. It's horrible. He goes to that bridge. He prays, "Let me live again. Please, God, let me live again." And last time we were together, Bert, the cop, comes to him and he acknowledges, "Hey, George, your mouth's bleeding." And he's like, "Oh, my mouth's bleeding." And then Zuzu's pedals. And he sees it. And he's so happy. And he makes his way. And you see him full of joy. And so enjoy this final scene as we see perspective changed because a life is acknowledged. And this is what the Prince of Peace can do in your life. Take a look at this final scene from It's a Wonderful Life.
Mr. Bank Examiner?
Hi. Mr. Bailey, there's a deficit.
I know, $8,000.
George, I've got a little paper.
I'll get us a warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to jail. Merry Christmas, reporters. Where's Mary? Mary? Oh, look at this wonderful old drafty house. Mary? 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 Have you seen my wife?
Mary?
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 Daddy?
Mary?
Kids? Hey! Oh, I could eat you up. Where's your mother?
We're looking for you.
It's Uncle Billy.
Daddy!
Zuzu, my little ginger snap. How do you feel?
Fine. Not a smidge of temper.
Not a smidge of temper. Hallelujah.
Hello. George!
Mary, darling.
Mary! George, darling! Where are you?
Oh,
George.
Mary,
George.
Oh, let me tell you. Are you real? George. You have no idea what's happened to me.
You have no idea what happened. Come on, George. Come on downstairs. Quick, we're on your way.
All right.
Come on. Come on in here now.
Let's just stand right over here by the tree.
All right. Right there. And don't move. Don't move.
What's happening?
Come on. I hear them coming now. George, it's a miracle. It's a miracle.
What's happening?
Who's going to come, Daddy?
Daddy.
Come in, Uncle Billy. Everybody. It's here.
George.
You better come.
George. Is everything ready? Isn't it wonderful? So many times. Mary did it, George. Mary did it. She told some people you were in trouble with it. They scattered all over town collecting money. Didn't ask any questions. Just said, George, in trouble. And tell me.
What is
it? Spread like this.
Another run, I'm afraid. Here, George. Merry Christmas.
There we are. The right time's on the right.
Come in, George.
Merry
Christmas.
I wouldn't have a roof over my head if it wasn't for you, George.
Just a minute. Quiet, everybody. Quiet. Now get this. It's from London.
Oh.
Mr. Gower cables you need cash. Stop. My office instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Stop.
Oh.
Hee-haw and Merry Christmas, Sam Wainwright.
Oh.
blizzard.
Carrie, how about your banquet in New York?
Oh, I left right in the middle of it as soon as I got Mary's telegram. Good idea, Ernie. A toast. To my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
Dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. That's right.
I'm a boy, Claire.
But we know in our lives, life goes on. We're happy for George, we're happy for Mary, we're happy for their family. But the reality is, life goes on for us. And I don't know, we don't know what you're dealing with today, where it may not be very peaceful where you're at. I want you to know that Christ offers peace. We've gone through that. I've shown you the Word of God, that He offers peace, this Prince of Peace. That we as believers in Christ have heaven to look forward to, have the kingdom to look forward to. But while we're here, He wants us to know, I've overcome the world. I want you to be a person that lives in peace. I'm the Prince of Peace, says Jesus. And that peace guards our hearts and minds. And it's a peace that passes understanding. And so as we continue into this Christmas season, as you maybe are able to go visit family, or maybe just in your correspondence with them through letter, through Christmas card, through phone call, through Zoom, whatever that looks like, through getting together, would you let the Lord take control of your life? Would you say to Him as you head in those times with family, heading into those discussions, Father, I just want to be a conduit of Your peace. I want to be used of You in the lives of those that are around me. Please, Father, I need Your help to do that. Left to myself, I bring the junk drawer. And I don't want to do that, Father. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in my discussions with people, in my time with Him. God, help me to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank You that we can ask that of You. You told us that when we became a child of Yours, You gave us that. I'd ask You, Father, that each one that is listening, that is watching this today, that You would encourage them, use them in amazing ways, and encourage them that You are doing that when it's happening. And when it's all said and done, it's for Your glory anyways. And Your glory leads to our good. So thank You for that. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.